listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
Well, today we're going to be talking about building a better you. We're going to start this new series today. And like you saw in the video, I really believe that God doesn't want to come in and totally wipe out everything that we are. See, we were born with personality. We were born, and I know that because my kids have quite a personality. All three of them, very different. They've got a personality, but God wants to take that personality and use it for His glory. The problem is sometimes we take what God has given us and we put it in the wrong place, give it the wrong direction, give it the wrong purpose, but God's got something special for us. I don't think He wants to wipe everything out. I don't think He wants to start all over with you. I think He wants to come inside of you and create everything new. Create everything new. There's a TV show I love to watch. I love anything on the DIY network. And I love watching these people go in and they can look past all the clutter. You know, I like it whenever they take someone into a house and they say, you know, you could have this house, and the people are looking at it and it looks like junk, and the people are like, there's no way I can live here. And they said, if you could just look past the ugly paint. Look past the ugly carpet. Look past the bad cabinets. I promise you, with a little bit of work and a little bit of money, we can make this thing special. And I always like watching these people, and they're always saying, no, I hate this place. And all of a sudden, they get on the computer, and they show them what it could look like. And they're like, oh, wow. That's the same thing God wants to do with you. If we can just look past all the junk and the clutter in our own life and see what God sees in us, then we could be way more effective in the kingdom of God. I promise you that. So today we're going to get started, and today we're going to be talking about our mind. And I don't know about you, but I have a crazy imagination. Now, I know y'all probably don't believe that about me, but my imagination is wild. Okay, it just is. I've told you before, some of you are new here today, you haven't heard all my stories, but I've told you before about the pants story. Remember the time when I thought my pants were trying to rob me and I almost shot them with a gun? Anyways, that's a story for another day. But my imagination has just always been wild. Even as a little kid, I've always had this wild imagination. As a matter of fact, I remember being in sixth grade. And I remember going to my teachers, and I used to sit in class all day and think to myself, you're sick, you're sick, your stomach hurts, your head hurts, you've got a cough, you're sick, you're sick, you feel bad, you feel really, really bad right now. And I would do that all day. By the time lunch came around, my stomach really did hurt, or I would really have a headache, or I would really have something wrong with me, and I would go to the teacher, I said, man, I'm so sick, I feel so bad right now, I need to go home. And she would send me to the office. I would go to the office, and I would get checked out. I'd call my parents. I don't know why my parents never caught on to it. They need some help being parents, apparently. And so, anyways, I would go home. As soon as I get home, what would I do? Man, I'm playing video games. I'm eating. I'm hanging out, having a good time. But what happened? I thought myself sick.
That's right.
All the time. To the point that by the time I left that school, I was only in that school 2 years. By the time I left that school, the ladies in the front office sent me a personal card saying how much they're going to miss seeing me in the office all the time. That's the truth. That's the truth. There is a connection, a special kind of connection between our thoughts, our will, and our emotions and our physical nature. How we feel, how we think, how we are on the inside affects how we are on the outside. And that's the truth. Right now, mentally, there's a lot of stuff going on inside of you. There's a lot of times we have to learn to overcome things mentally before we overcome them physically. We took our kids to Disney, and I've got these just wild, just reckless children that I love to death. And that's how I try and raise them. So when they go to Disney, man, my kids, they are just like, they want to ride every ride. They want anything fast. As a matter of fact, once they had ridden the faster rides, they went back on some of the other roller coasters and they were bored. I mean, we're on Thunder Mountain, you know, and it's doing all that stuff. And Emma looks over at me. She goes, this isn't fast anymore. What happened? You know, I mean, that's how my kids think. Until you put them on a bicycle and then they act like you're trying to feed them to alligators or something. I mean, they can't. My kid can ride any roller coaster you put them on, but they can't ride a bicycle to save their life. And so I'm the one that I just like push them and just hope for the best. You know, I mean, that's kind of how we are. But I have to tell my kids, it's all in your head. There is no real fear here. It's grass. When you fall down, it won't really hurt. And I tell them, I say, it's all in your head. If you can just get past it up here, then you can do it out here.
Yeah.
And that's the problem with a lot of us. That's something we deal with on an everyday basis. Whenever you get saved, you still have a brain and emotions and a will that you have to deal with.
Yep.
Now, some of y'all are thinking, man, you're giving much a mumbo jumbo from psychology today. I promise you I'm not. As a matter of fact, Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. In other words, how you feel on the inside is how you are going to be on the outside. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Even the Bible says it. What's on the inside will always come out on the outside. And so it's important today to make sure that we get our minds right. Now, when we talk about the mind today, the Bible also talks about heart. If you were to literally translate, anytime the Bible talks about, especially in the Old Testament, when it talks about heart, a lot of times it means kidneys, believe it or not. What it means is the inside of you. What's on the inside? So a lot of times whenever you talk about the soul, the mind, the heart, the kidneys, whatever case you want to use, it's talking about your mind, your thoughts, your will, and your emotions. So today as we deal with this stuff, when we start talking about anything having to do with the mind, don't just think just thoughts. Think my will and my emotions as well, because those are the things that trap us and keep us from God's best. God's got a destiny for you. God's got a purpose for you. And the best way for you to figure that out is for you to figure it out in here first. Get it straight up here first. Jesus has a solution for us because we've got a problem. He always has a solution. Our problem a lot of times in living for Christ, if you look in Mark chapter 22 with me today, here's the problem that we have. We give our hearts to Jesus Christ. We come in on a Sunday or as a little kid. A lot of you got saved when you're little kids, probably like me, growing up in church, and you gave your heart to Jesus Christ because a puppet got up and told you that you're supposed to. And so you went down to the altar and you prayed the prayer. But as you grew up, you struggled because you still thought the old thoughts that you had. I remember as a teenager a lot of times really struggling, thinking, man, why do I still think like I used to think, even though last night at church, I gave my heart to Christ? Even as an adult, I would do the same thing. Why is it that I go and I repent, but then the next day, I'm still thinking those old thoughts. I'm still feeling those old ways. Why is that? Jesus said it pretty clear in Mark chapter 2, verse 22. Check this out. He says, and no one pours new wine into old wine skins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wine skins will be ruined. Let's pause there for a second. What's our problem? Our problem is a lot of times we get this new wine of salvation, this new wine of revelation. And see, sometimes if you're sitting here today, if you're not careful, you're going to start thinking, well, I've been saved for 50 years. I've been saved for 20 years. I've been saved for 10 years. I don't need to know what to do after I got saved. I'm doing it. The problem is, even new revelation that God gives you sometimes, if you start trying to put it into old wineskins, it will burst the wineskin. See, back in the day, they would take their wine, which was grape juice, and they would pour it into a skin, right? A bag. They would take that sometimes, and as they would drink it, they didn't finish it. And what happens to the wine? It begins to ferment. When the wine ferments, it begins to produce gas. As it produces gas, what happens to that wineskin? It stretches. But as most skin does, it starts to dry and form into that stretched way, or whatever it is, form. I don't know what I'm talking about at this point. I'm just making it up. So then when they finish out that wineskin has already got its old form, right? It's bigger, it's stretched out more. If you were to take new wine and fill that wineskin up, as that wine were to ferment, it would stretch that skin even more. But at this point, it's at full capacity, so it breaks. So what we do a lot of times is we have a wineskin, which is our pattern of thinking, our inner man, our way of doing things. We've got a wineskin. And as God begins to fill it up, it begins to stretch. But the problem is, sometimes it stays at a certain capacity. So then when God wants to put new revelation in your heart, if you still have your old way of thinking, the new revelation will break your old way of thinking. Here's what happens to us, though, especially if you're newly saved, but even for those of us that are older. Whenever that breaks, that becomes a point of contention between you and God. That becomes a point of contention between you and other people. That's why I had a pastor friend of mine one time. He was struggling with the church he was in. And his struggle was this. It wasn't that people were being mean necessarily. It wasn't that he wasn't able to preach the word. It was that one Sunday he had come in like the week before, and there was flowers on the piano, and these flowers were fake flowers. He didn't realize this being a new pastor, but those flowers were old and dirty and faded. So he moved them. He took them off the piano, went and put them back in a closet somewhere. That next Sunday, the people were in an uproar. Why? Because someone moved the flowers. Can I tell you something? That's an old wineskin. Now, I'm talking about flowers on a piano, but a lot of times that can be in just the way we think. It can be in the way we do things. You start trying to put new wine in old wineskins, it becomes a point of contention. You begin to break, and you begin to hurt other people. I like how he said this. He said, the wine and the skin will be ruined. So in other words, it's not even just the skin, not even just your way of thinking that's ruined. It's also the word of God. The revelation gets ruined and it becomes no good to anybody. So it's important for us to understand that we've got to get away from this old way of thinking. We've got to get a new way of thinking. And God's solution is this. It's found in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. The solution is this. We must renew our minds. We must renew our minds. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 2. The Bible says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen to this next part. I love it. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I like how it says, I can test and approve. Approve meaning I sign off on what? God's will. Now, should I normally have the power to sign off on God's will? Last time I checked, it's His will. He does what He wants to do. But this says if you get your mind right, it's a whole lot easier. You know God's will. You can approve God's will. Yeah, that's God's will. I approve. I stamp it. I recognize it. I'm ready to move on. Sometimes we get so concerned about praying about every little step that we take. And the problem is, if we would get our minds renewed and begin to think like Christ, we wouldn't have to pray about every single little step. We just walk, and we're walking in the will of God every way we go. Come on. My goal is not to be so consumed with looking straight down. I want to be able to look out. The only way I can do that is get my mind right. I want to look at a couple of words here that I feel like are important. I'm going to go nerd on you for just a minute if you don't mind. But a couple of things I want to look at in this verse. The word renew, I want to look at this word renew, and I'm going to put this up on the board. You see it right there. The word renew means this. It means, in Greek, it's anakenosis. It doesn't matter what it says, how it sounds. The point is this. It's made up of two words. Ana, right, and kino. Kino means to make fresh or new. We got that part. Ana means completing a process. Pause right there. Don't read ahead. Completing a process. One thing you need to know in your notes today is that for you to have your mind renewed, for you to think like Christ, for you to be like Him, is a process. It doesn't happen overnight. Man, I remember as a teenager going to youth group, and I used to go in there, man. I would pray, and I'd say, God, I hate whenever I lie. I hate whenever I think these bad thoughts, or I hate whenever I do this. And I used to always think, why does it never change? And I never saw it as a process. I wanted God to come in and renew my mind immediately. And the whole time, the Bible doesn't say God renews your minds. It says you renew your minds. Yeah. And the word renew means it's a process. Whenever you build a house or you remodel a house, my wife, I'm sure she is the most patient person I know. But at our house, we decided to put in wood floors. Huge mistake. Huge mistake. I am not a handyman, and I thought I'm going to save money by putting in these wood floors myself. Right? You know how this is going to end up. Bad. So I start putting in wood floors. What I thought was going to be a two-week process ended up being 6 months process. But to be totally honest with you, it's still not done. There is still trim that I have yet to do. And that was before Colt was born. He just turned 2 like 2 weeks ago. So this is a 2.5-year process that we're undergoing to renew our floors. Okay, well, part of that's just me being lazy. But the other part of it is this. We need to understand anytime you go in to do work in a house, it is a process. It is a process. It is ongoing. There is always something that you can renew or build or make. There's always something happening. It's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. Even on these TV shows, it takes 3 days to make something happen, right? And I don't even know how they do it in 3 days. But here's the cool thing. That word Anna, whenever I was doing my studying on this, that word Anna there, the guys that do all the translating, they say this. They say that word intensifies the word for new or to make fresh. It intensifies it. So it goes from being, I'm making you new, to I'm making you new. You know what I mean? I don't know. It just yells and screams at you. But it intensifies the word. In other words, it makes it a bigger deal than what it normally would be. So when God says, or when Paul says here, you need to renew your minds, he's not talking about just coming in and cleaning things up a little bit. He's talking about coming in and remodeling the whole thing. Remodeling the way you think. Remodeling the way you feel. Remodeling your own will and emotions. God wants to totally do something new in you today. And in order for us to be renewed, whenever we are renewed, it's a whole, God's got a whole purpose and plan for you. And that purpose and plan is in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. And that is for you to be like Christ. See, God wants you to be you, but he wants you to be you like Christ. He wants you to be you, but like him at the same time. Your personality, his nature. Your thoughts, his thought patterns. God wants you. He's got a plan for your life, and it's for you to be like him. If you look over at Romans chapter 8, verse 29, it says, for those who God foreknew, that's everybody in the room, he also predestined to be conformed in the image of his son. I want to, again, go into the study for just a second because I want to really understand this. Two words there that you need to underline, conformed and image. That word conformed there means sharing the same inner essence, nature, and identity. God's goal for you this morning is for you to be renewed in your mind. Why? Because he wants you to share in the same essence, nature, and identity as Jesus Christ. He wants you to be just like him. Just like him. That word image there means to be a mirror-like reflection. It also means a high-definition projection. I'm sure they added that in later. I don't think they had HD in Paul's day. But if they did, that's what he would have been talking about. There's a pastor I met one time. And he's got a great church up in Huntsville, church on the Rock Family Worship Center, I think is what it's called. And they've got multiple campuses and all this stuff. And his goal is to do video services. That's what they do up there. And so I was asking him about it, you know, how do you do this? How do you do that? And he said, man, he said, we come in and we get the best HD cameras, the best HD projectors, the best HD screens. We get the best of everything. And I thought, well, that's a lot of money, first of all. He said, but to be honest with you, he said, our equipment is so good that at one of our other campuses, he said, my mom attended the other campus and didn't know she was looking at me on a screen. She thought I was really there that day. He said, that's how good the system is. He said, and I love being on TV because at all the other campuses, I'm about 2 inches taller. Here's the point. The point is, God's goal for you is to have your mind renewed. Why? Because he wants you to be like Christ. He already said, as a man thinks, so is he. So if we think like Christ, then we are like Christ. Amen? So if that's the case, God wants you to be a high def representation of Jesus Christ. Just like that guy in high definition looked better, was taller. People didn't even know the difference between his own mother didn't know the difference. God wants you like that on earth. God wants you like that at your job. God wants you like that at your family. God wants you like that in your neighborhood. He wants you to be such a crystal clear projection, reflection of Jesus Christ that people don't know the difference. That when they see you, they see him. Now, in order for us to do that, I'm afraid some things are going to have to change in us and with us. We've got to be that kind of representation. So how do we renew our mind? If God's not going to do it for us, how are we going to do it? I'm going to give you three quick things that we need to do. Number one, we need to remove the negativity. Now listen, when you go in to do a house, to work on a house, one of the first things you do is you do demolition, right? You don't go in and build inside of a house on top of all your other stuff. Yep. You do demolition. When I was putting down the floors, I had to pull up all the old flooring. Yeah. I even went into my kitchen. My kitchen had linoleum. And whenever they put down that linoleum, instead of gluing it down, they nailed it down with nails about that long. So I'm popping that stuff up. Well, we had just piled all of our trash in my living room. Well, one day, I'm wearing some old Converse tennis shoes. You know how those are? Flat bottoms. And I go to jump over some of the trash to go on to the next part of the room. And whenever I jumped over the trash and I landed, I felt the sting in the bottom of my foot. So when I pulled my foot up, which was very difficult, apparently there was a nail stuck up in the bottom of my foot. Well, I pulled it out whenever I pulled off of it. And I walked over and back into the kitchen. And whenever I did, every step I took, I was leaving a blood spot. That nail had gone through my shoe, through my sock, into my foot, and apparently stuck me so good that it was already immediately bleeding back out through the hole. So I pulled my shoe off, and when I did, blood was just pouring out of the bottom of my foot. That has nothing to do with the message, except it just hurt really, really bad. Everything's done in order. There you go. The point is, you've got to do demolition first. Same thing with your thoughts. Same thing with your mind. You've got to do some demolition first. Some of you have some deep-seated negativity about yourself. Maybe it was given to you by your parents. Maybe it was given to you in your childhood. But you've got some deep-seated negativity, and it holds you back from doing whatever God wants you to do because you're always thinking, I can't do whatever it is the Bible says I can do because of this. Some of you have some deep-seated negativity about church or about God, and there's certain points in your Christianity where you stall out, where you hit a wall. And it's because we've got to remove the negativity out of our life. Remove the negativity out of your life. Well, how do we do that? There's a couple of verses I want you to look at today. Look at 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. They're going to put it on the screen if you don't have your Bible out. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, but test all. It says, do not quench the spirit, do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all, hold on to what is good, reject every kind of evil. What is Paul saying here? He says, test everything, test your thoughts, test what comes to you, hold on to the good stuff, but throw away the evil stuff. Listen, there is some simple things that it is crazy that it works, but they did a study, some psychologists did a study in Spain with a bunch of high school students. The study was this. They would have the students take a card and write down negative thoughts about themselves. Write down negative thoughts about themselves, about their body, about their whatever. They would write it down. And then they split the group into two groups, and they told one group, take the card that you wrote down the negative stuff on and go over it and check for grammatical errors. They told the other group, take the card you wrote down negative stuff about and crumple it up and throw it in the garbage can. When they interviewed those same students later, the students that had crumpled up the negative thoughts and thrown them away had a more positive outlook about themselves than the ones who had checked them off for grammar. Why? Because the ones that checked it off for grammar went over and over and over the negativity and put it in them. The ones that crumpled it up and threw it away had a physical act of removing the negativity away from them. They did the same thing with the same group of students, and they decided to try something different, maybe something more innocuous like a diet. And so they taught them all about a diet. And they asked them, they said, look, we want you to take some of the negative things about that diet, some of the things you don't like about that diet, write them down, throw them away. Another group, write them down, put them in your pocket. When they interviewed all the students later, same result. The ones that had thrown the stuff away had a more positive outlook on the diet than the ones who had put the negativity in their pocket. Then they thought, well, maybe it's not just with paper, maybe it's with computers. So they had the kids literally type up a document of negativity, go and take it, and in some of them, they told them, just delete it. Just hit the delete button and make it disappear. Others, they said, we want you to physically take it and drag it with your mouse to the recycle bin or the trash can on your computer screen. They physically went and did that. Did you know the students that physically drug the negative paper and put it in the trash or had a more positive outlook than the ones that just hit the delete button? What are we saying? There is something about doing something in the physical that affects the mental. Whenever you take negative thoughts and hold on to them, it's going to affect the way you look at life. It's going to affect the way you pray. It's going to affect the way you worship. It's going to affect the way you love people. But if you can take negative thoughts, write them down, and physically throw them away, it changes the way you view things. As I was reading this article, they said, make sure you throw away all hate mail immediately. Anytime somebody sends you something negative, trash it. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm the kind of guy, I'll hold on to the negative stuff. I'll read over it again. Why? Because I'm stupid sometimes. But what does it do? It affects the way I preach. It affects the way I pastor. It affects my everyday life. Because if I hold on to the negative, then I start preaching through the negative, not through the positive. Well, then that affects the way I talk to you. That affects the way I do things. That's what affects the way I lead. Same thing happens with you and your family. The more you hold on to the negative, the worse off you're going to be. Paul says, throw it away. Hold on to the good. Throw away the evil thoughts. There's another verse, if you wanted to look there, in 2 Chronicles 10:5, the Bible says, take authority over your thoughts. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, take authority over your thoughts. It says, go in, grab them, pull down every thought that rises up against God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. The next thing we've got to do is we've got to wash our minds with the Word of God. Wash our minds with the Word of God. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27, the Bible talks about a husband and wife relationship, and it talks about how Christ does with the church, that He washes us with the Word. He washes us with the Word. What does that mean? That means we need to flood our minds with the Word of God. Don't just read it for the sake of reading it. Read it so that it gets in you. I think a lot of times we talk about reading our Bible so often, but sometimes we read it just like we would read a newspaper. We need to read this thing as though it is the Word of life to us. We need to read this thing and ask God to show us whether it's a word or a sentence or a verse or a paragraph. Say, God, what is it today that you need to wash my mind with? See, you're going to find some areas in your word. Look, you can even go in and specifically pull out scriptures just for what you're dealing with. And I think that's smart. You can go to Google right now, and if you're struggling with lust, you can go to Google. You can Google up scriptures on lust. If you're struggling with depression, you can Google scriptures on depression. If you're struggling with whatever it is, fear, scriptures on fear, and you can go in and print out a list of scriptures specifically about those things. And then what do we do with them? You need to read them over and over and over. If you're struggling with fear today, go in, print those out, and just read them. Read them over and over and over to yourself until it gets in you, until it washes your mind of the fear. Some of you, you may have all kinds of issues going on in your life. You may be dealing with all kinds of stuff. Part of your problem, why you're not getting the victory in that area, is because you haven't washed your mind with the Word. So we need to discard all the negative. Throw it away. Get out your Word. Wash your mind with the Word. It's okay if you don't read chapter and verse in order for a year. I mean, I think it's cool to do. I try and do it myself. But sometimes just looking up specific things for specific needs is perfect. Look, if you're going to go to battle, if you're going to rebuild a house, if I need to cut a piece of wood, I don't get out my hammer. Right? Sure, I could cut a piece of wood with a hammer, but it would take a long time. Be very difficult. I get out a saw. Why? It's a specific job that I need a specific tool to accomplish. Same thing with the Word of God. You want to wash your mind? Get the specific word that you need. The next thing is this, is we need to focus on the positive. Focus on the positive. You need to take the word, you need to write it down. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4 real quick, and we're about to close. I like that study that they did with those Spanish students, because in the study, sometimes they would have those kids take positive thoughts about themselves. And they did the same thing that they did with the negative things. They would take the positive thoughts, write them down on a note card, stick them in their pocket. They'd take the positive thoughts, write them down, and throw them away. The kids that wrote them down and put them in their pocket, by the end of the day, had a more positive outlook on themselves and on life than the kids that threw it away. Why? There's something about keeping it with you. Let me tell you what you need to do. Get you a scripture. Wash your mind with the scripture. Take that scripture. Write it down. Put it on your mirror. Write it down. Put it in your wallet. Write it down. Throw it in your purse. Throw it in something that you're going to see it every single day. And focus on that. Learn to focus on what God wants you to focus on. Because here's the thing. The Bible says that the Word is Christ. That Christ came and He is the Word. So if I focus on the Word, if I take the positive out of the Word and I'm reading it, it's on my mirror, it's in my pocket, it's with me all the time, what's going to happen? I'm going to start thinking like Him. And my mind, day by day, will be renewed. The more my mind's renewed, the more I'm going to change my destiny. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9 says this, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true," and you can write these things down. This is a good filter for you, a great filter for you and for me. "Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Think about such things. He goes on to say, if you'll put them into practice, you'll have peace. You want to get your mind right today? Get you a good filter. Get you a good filter. Say, "God, today I'm going to think about it." Maybe you just choose one. "I'm going to think about just true things today. I'm going to pick out some truth, and I'm going to just think about true things today. So when people come and talk to me, and they give me 30 minutes of mess, I'm going to pick out the one true thing they said. That's what I'm going to focus on today. I'm going to focus on the truth. I'm going to focus on whatever's pure today." A lot of times it has to do with what goes in. Look, there are some things in your life, it may have to do with music, TV shows, movies. I don't know what it is. Different things affect us in different ways, and different things are weird. I know there's been times when I've watched TV shows, and I told someone the other day, I said, they were asking me about a TV show. I said, "You know what? That TV show is well written. The acting is incredible. The storyline, wonderful, very enticing, draws you in." I said, "But for whatever reason, that particular TV show made me think thoughts I didn't want to think. So after a couple of episodes, I stopped watching it, turned it off, got it out of my life. Is that to say every single TV show is bad? I'm not saying that. Different things affect you different ways, and if you've got a good filter, if you're washing your mind with the Word, you're going to figure it out. There are some songs that you listen to that conjure up thoughts. Look, it may not even be a bad song. It may be a song, though, that conjures up a memory that you don't need to have. You're listening to a song, and every time you listen to it, you think about you and your old boyfriend in high school sitting in the back seat of your 59 Chevy or whatever it is. I'm just saying old stuff now. Thing is, your husband doesn't want you thinking those things. You don't need to be thinking those things. That's a memory you need to forget. So don't listen to that particular song. Look, there are things that are going to jar our memory. Discard them. Hold on to the good. Say, God, today I'm going to focus on the positive. Today I'm going to write something down. I'm going to put it in my pocket. The thing I was reading, the article I was reading, they said, throw away all your hate mail and don't be afraid to hold on to that fortune cookie slip that says something good. The thing is, we need to take anything that God wants us to grow with, anything that God wants to use to edify us and build us up, and hold on to it. Maybe somebody wrote you a note one day and it was a good note. Hold on to that thing, man. Throw that thing in your Bible. Look at it every so often. Maybe you found a scripture today that really spoke to your heart. Hold on to it. Go over it every so often. Keep it in the forefront of your mind. You got to keep it close. Let me close with this today. Two things. When we think like Christ, we become like Christ. If you don't get anything else out of my message today, get this. When you think like Christ, you become like Christ. You want to be Christ-like? You want to stop doing those things? You want to stop falling to the same temptation every single week? Let's change the way we think. Renew your mind so that you're thinking like Christ, not like you. Because thinking like you gets you in trouble. Thinking like Him is going to change your destiny. My second thought is that. You renew your mind, you'll change your destiny. You'll change your destiny. You'll change your purpose and where you're going and what you're doing by your mind being renewed. I love to read about Paul. Because Paul, we don't ever see Paul praying and fasting and begging God for direction. Paul just went. Man, he just went places. And if the Holy Spirit didn't want him to go somewhere, He would tell him, hey, don't go this way, go that way. Yes, sir. Turn and go. Whereas us, we'll sit on our knees for 6 months praying about what car to buy. And God's saying, I got a plan, I got a purpose for you. If you will get my mind, you won't have to worry. I will lead you and guide you. And you, if you think like me, you can think ahead of me. The staff is funny. We are very analytical people. We analyze everything about each other to our detriment and our humor. But these guys have gotten to where now, a lot of times, because we work in such close quarters, they know a lot of times what I'm thinking before I ever say it. Pastor Shane this morning asked me a question, and before I could give him an answer, he looked at the look on my face. He said, I know what you're saying. I know what you're thinking right now. And he was right. Why? Because we've been around each other so much, we know how the other one thinks. That's how Christ wants us to be. Christ wants us to be to the point where we know how He thinks, the patterns that He walks in, and therefore, it's a lot easier for us. Amen?
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.